Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, folks. This is Dave Schmidt. I'm your host here again tonight on the Cosmic Connections. This is the June 23rd program, and I'm coming from my home in Florida. And I've got this kind of, like I said, I can get kind of different background photos, but that was a shot that I had when I was out in the water in Hawaii a couple of years ago. So, but, you know, living on the beach, living on the ocean here in Florida, I thought, okay, it's kind of a little bit more of what it's like here. And again, thank you for everybody that's on Facebook that are just kind of, you know, giving the comments there that everything sounds good. And with that, Blanca, how are you doing on this fine evening?
I'm doing well, Dave. Thank you. We're in the middle of summer over here. It was pretty hot. But other than that, we're doing great. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, it is warm here, too. We're getting up into the low 90s almost every day here in South Florida. And folks, again, I was in Sedona about a week and a half ago, and they have been hot, hot, hot. And I posted on my Facebook page, it was about 5 or 6 days ago, a friend of mine was in Phoenix, and she sent me a picture of her thermometer from inside her car, and it was reading 120 degrees. Was that's beyond comfortable. They have just been praying. It's been so hot. There are forest fires going around all over in Northern Arizona, and they've just been praying, and they finally got some rain today. Now, the rain wasn't real heavy, but it has dampened things down. It's going to slow down the spread of the forest fires, but there were about 17 different forest fires going on from Phoenix all the way up to the Grand Canyon and up into, you know, the northeast part of the state as well. So be praying for the folks there, because they got just a ton of forest fires going on in Arizona. And it's just because it's so dry and hot, because they haven't had hardly any rain. But other than that, all is well here. And Blanca, you're there in Atlanta, and you said that all is well there, but that, you know, it had, you know, got warm there, but it's that time of the year now. So, yeah. Anything else
that's
you'd like
right
to share with us here tonight?
Well, the other thing that's adding to the heat in Georgia, if anyone's keeping up with the election things, lots of interesting things, lots of bouncing back and forth. I think we're having a mini Arizona drama play around elections here in Georgia. So that's kind of adding to the heat as well.
Yeah, that audit is still going on in Arizona, because remember, they had about, I think it's what, 2.8 million ballots to look at, you know, and they're doing them one at a time, you know, so that takes a while. But it'll be interesting. There's all kinds of different stories that come out about what it's doing. I don't trust anything until the official report comes out from the people who do the audit. Everything else is just rumors and talk, because I've seen so many different stories about what it's done and what's going on, and who knows, but we'll see. We'll see what's up on it. And so, because, you know, who knows what's official and what isn't about what gets leaked out. But that's neither here nor there. So that's just a different issue. But that's all kinds of on background stuff there. Well, Blanca, anything else that you would like to share with us before I kind of get into the program here tonight?
No, I think we've got some nice topics to address. So I think we're ready to go.
Okay. Well, first of all, folks, obviously at the beginning of the program, I do what update I do have on the currency exchange. There is nothing new other than the fact that the lady who is my primary source of information, she said that there's three different funding releases for the sources. It doesn't go to everybody all at once. The very first group that gets the first funds are called the sovereigns, and these are the people that put up a lot of money in the beginning. They help this thing get going. They've been a part of, you know, the process. I don't know the definition of what that means. All I know is that they are the first ones to have funds released to them. Then after that is done, then they are releasing funds to pre-organized, very large groups for humanitarian aid funding projects all around the world. Now, again, don't ask me what that means, who it is. I don't know. And then after that is done, then it comes to us for the funding of the currency and the bonds. So even once we get started, it can still take a couple months before it gets down to us. But what I did get from my friend is 2 days ago, supposedly, the funding was starting to move to the sovereigns. Now, that's all that I have about round one funding. Don't ask me anything else. I don't know anything else. That's all that I know. And that's pretty much it because, you know, we've been saying that. She's been saying it day to day, but we don't know what it holds it up because she's been saying it day to day now for about 3 or 4 weeks. But, you know, I can only report what I'm told, folks. So, okay. So that's where we are on that scenario. Now, last week I sent out a notice and I want to thank all of you for the overwhelming support that you sent back that my absolutely wonderful dear friend, her name was Penny, she went through her transition. We were housemates. We lived in the same house in Sedona for over 6 years, so obviously we had become very close. We were very good friends. She was my confidant. She was the one that I could always go to and talk about anything, and she was a very strong, spiritually advanced lady herself. She had written about 6 or 7 different books. About 5 of them were channeled books, books that she had channeled. She had real, real strong connections, what I call intuitively, with what's called the Magdalene group, with the Mary Magdalene, because one of the books that she had written about was basically reincarnation in past lives. She was a master at helping people to understand the what is called their Akashic records, the history of all their past lives. She was a master at that. She could tap into that and really help people through. And one of the things is that she had told me shortly after we first met, and he says, well, Dave, you and I have had 10 past lives together. I thought, well, okay, all right. And one of those past lives was in the area of Palestine during the time of Jesus and Mary Magdalene. And that she was basically a cousin to Jesus in that lifetime and was directly related to the Magdalene family, to Mary Magdalene's family with her mother. And so Penny's always had that strong connection that was there. And so that was one of the attractions that her and I had always had during all of our time together. And she made her transition. Her sickness came on fairly quickly. It was a fairly quick process, and it kind of surprised a lot of us, but it was her time. It was just her time. And if you notice, I'm always using the word transition. I don't use the word death unless I need to use that to help someone understand. Because for us folks, it's important to understand that, you know, the soul goes on forever. The soul is the eternal part of us, and these bodies that we put on are just temporary coverings that we put on to have this experience in our third dimensional world. A.R. Borden had basically said that the human body is like a uniform. He called it the human uniform that the soul puts on. And I had was sharing with some others, and the thought came to me and says, my dear friend Penny, her soul had expanded so much that she basically had outgrown her human uniform, and it was time to get a new one. And that's what I want to say. So my dear friend, you're out there. You're doing well. I know you're doing well. You're in your transition state. Be well. And I know that we'll probably cross each other's paths again. So, and again, I want to thank everybody for all the great support that you had said on that, is because, you know, she was so helpful during my transitionary phase of moving from what I called primarily living in a third dimensional world to becoming into what is called the intuitive world. And she helped me through that whole process. And also during all the currency exchange stuff, she heard all the stories, because I said she was my confidant. She was the one I'd always go to and share all the blessings and all the trials that I had going through this whole process. So again, thank you. But I also want to then just kind of hitchhike on that thought a little bit. The greatest threat to us within our transition or our thought process or our maturing process is fear. And notice how our culture looks at death. Death is a very, very fearful event in this third dimensional world. But as we grow and mature, we come to a point of understanding it's just we're outgrowing the uniform. And it's just time to get rid of that old uniform and move on into a new one. And we will, because we all do that. Now, some of you are probably still maybe somewhat struggling with the concept of reincarnation. I know I did for a number of years. Well, as I've done my, you know, research on it, because remember, I was a religion major in college, what I'd come to find out, it's only Western Christianity are the only ones that have a denial of the concept of reincarnation. All other faiths, all other spiritual aspects, all other indigenous cultures, always through the history of our human race, have always understood that we always go through a reincarnation process. We get rid of this human uniform. We move into another dimension, the astral dimension. We move into that for a period of time, and then we come back. And the reason we come back, because it's in this third dimensional physical world that we have the greatest opportunity for our growth and development. And that's the reason we come back here. So is to continue our growth and development process as spiritual beings. And so those thoughts there. So with that, Blanca, is there anything that you would like to share with us?
Well, no, I'm glad you mentioned Penny and reminded us that you're going through a solemn time, but I think you're using it as a positive experience and sharing instead of just mulling around in grief. You're sharing some of the insights you have about her transition and the bigger reality about what this stage in our lives is. And yes, I do realize many people perhaps we'll leave the space for the notion of reincarnation, and some don't. But I know you've been a scholar of the Bible, and there are places where one can point to in the Bible that perhaps other people considered the fact that souls would come back and would come back to Earth. And again, I'm not the scholar, but I'm aware that there's some of those passages in the Bible as well.
Sure. Well, there's a logical history about why Western culture, Christianity, didn't believe in reincarnation. And it goes all the way back to the Caesar of Rome, when he basically made Christianity the official religion. That was Constantine. The Caesar of Rome, he made Christianity the official religion of Rome, but at the same time also instituted a law that people couldn't confess a belief in reincarnation, because if they did, they would be killed immediately. And the reason he had did that is, you know, the Roman Empire was basically starting to become weaker in its dominance. And he noticed that there were these group of people. Now, they weren't called Christians at the time. They were called people of the way. They were becoming very, very strong. They were becoming very, not necessarily politically powerful, but they were becoming very powerful because of their faith and their beliefs. There were times that the soldiers would get into battles with them, and he had noticed that the reports were that they had absolutely no fear of death, none. And he said, how do you defeat someone in a war or politically, where if one of them dies, two of them come right behind them with no fear of dying? The reason they had no fear of death is, number one, they believed in reincarnation, and number two, they believed in the resurrection, that it happened with Jesus and it would happen with them as well. And when Constantine saw that, he thought, these people are a threat to the Roman Empire, so instead of trying to defeat them politically and militarily, he made Christianity the official religion of Rome so he could take control of it. And he did that, and then instituted a law that if anybody believed in reincarnation, they were immediately killed, put to death, crucified, just as Jesus was. So it was the fear of death where they no longer professed it. And then when you allow that to carry over 50 to 100 to 150 years through three and four generations, then it becomes a multi-generational belief system where they you don't believe in it. So they didn't believe in it. And we are still here today, almost, 1,700 years later, because that happened in around 325 to 350 AD. Here we are still, it carries over with us. But those parts of humanity that were not a part of that process, you see, they always believed in it. So, but what that does, it allows us to move beyond the dominant thinking of a 3D physical world and the limitations that that type of thinking puts on our potential of who we are and what we can accomplish. We are programmed to believe that the world is a three-dimensional physical world, and because of that, there's limitations on what we can do and what we can experience. And the new science that is coming out, quantum physics, is showing that that is not true. The world, the whole universe, is holographic, which means it is not physical. All it is very fast, accelerating, moving energy, but the vibration of the energy for us has slowed down so much that it appears as physical to our senses. And then what we do, we program our memories, predominantly the subconscious memory, to believe that. Therefore, that is what we experience in the limitations that we have. Now, let me share something else. Again, this comes from, the man that I read a lot, A.R. Borden. He said that the conscious mind only processes about 18 to 20 data bits of information per second. But the subconscious mind processes 60 to 80 million data bits of information per second. 95% of our day from day to day is lived from the subconscious memory, not the conscious mind. When we were small children, before we could walk, walking is something that we learned how to do, and that programming took place in our subconscious mind. And from the time that we are little babies and we learn how to walk until the day that we transition or die, every time that you and I get up and walk, that ability to do that is coming from the programmed subconscious mind memory. That memory in the subconscious mind is extremely powerful. That memory in the subconscious mind carries over from lifetime to lifetime. So that is a memory that is with us for hundreds, if not thousands of years. And that is how we are programmed. Our subconscious mind is programmed through hundreds of lifetimes that we have lived that the world is physical. Therefore, I'm limited what I can do with it and what I am capable of performing. And Jesus was the master that had allowed himself to move beyond that and retrained and reprogrammed his subconscious mind to know that the power and the energy of high vibrational love energy transcends that, and therefore he was not limited in what are called our physical limitations. The miracles, many of the miracles that he did was because he had programmed the subconscious mind to say, this is possible. I can do this. Let's go back to the biblical account of, taking the five loaves and fishes and multiplying it to feed 5,000 people. That's an example, because he knew that it was not limited to just what was physically in front of him, that it could expand, it could multiply, because it's holographic. It's not physical. And it's all based around the vibration of the energy in the substance that appears before us. When I take this pen, physical pen, I can't put my hand through it because my subconscious mind is programmed that I can't do that. Thousands of lifetimes. And you don't change this programming overnight. That means I have to go into my subconscious mind to reprogram that possibility. This is the era, this is the time that humanity is going to start moving into an era of learning that. Now, I think it's going to possibly take a couple generations where we're going to start seeing this stuff become more common, but we are the people who get to be on the forefront to allow that change to happen. A.R. Borden had taught us that everything, because of quantum physics, because the world is holographic, because the world is nothing but oscillating energy, everything then that we experience is a creation from our conscious and subconscious minds intermingling with the energy around us. In essence, we are the ones who are always creating our world and always creating our experiences. And that happens through the energy of our thoughts, the energy of consciousness. What does that mean? It means that if we are willing to do the work, and it takes work, we can learn how to reprogram our subconscious mind to do the miracles, in essence, that Jesus did. He did say, and it stated this in the Gospels, it stated there in the New Testament, in the Bible, says where he said that everything I do, you can do, and even more. So we take that, and we look at this world around us, and we say, well, why don't we see it hardly at all? I don't see people manifesting things and making stuff instantly appear. I don't see people walking through doors. I don't see people walking on water and stuff like that. It's because of the programming, the 60 to 80 million data bits information per second programming through thousands of years in our subconscious mind that says, that's not possible. I can't do that. I can say with my words, I can do this. But my subconscious mind says, no, you can't. And that's the dominant power source of what we create in our lives. But that mind is like a computer. It can be reprogrammed. So what I want to do tonight, I'm going to read a couple pages about this process called LERM. Now, Borden had used the term MPO, Manifest Production Observership. That, in essence, he was saying that by observership, we are producing manifestation 24/7. Even when we're sleeping and dreaming, we are still manifesting things that appear within our life. It's something that we're doing all the time. What LERM was, it's an acronym that stands for Light Encoded Reality Matrix, L-E-R-M. And it was an accelerated form of MPO. In essence, they had the ability to make something appear within 5 to 10 seconds, boom, right in front of them, out of nothing. They would get something from nothing. It could be an apple, an orange, or $100 bill, or whatever they wanted. They would just basically go into a form of a meditative process, hold their hands out in front of them, and within 5 to 15 seconds, boom, the item would appear in their hands. Now, I'm going to read some things about this LERM process. And I've shared with you, I am starting to do the work on this. Now, it may take a year or two for me to learn this. I don't know. It's a step-by-step learning process for me. But Borden had said, anybody can learn how to do this if they are willing to do the work. So let me read this. LERM is an acronym for Light Encoded Reality Matrix. It's the foundational aspect of how items or objects come to our functional world of existence. We live in a world where most of us process life as physical and therefore limited and what we can do with it. But new science is displaying the world, the multiverse, the multi-universes are holographic. The universe is not physical, but it's nothing more than energy whose frequency has been lowered to be perceptible by our human senses as solid. Says, welcome to the quantum or holonomic world, the world of unlimited potential, as we learn how to undo our past programming that has kept us experiencing a world of limitations based on our perceptions of the world being physical. LERM, or the other term LEOM, light encoding of an object matrix, is the process of how items come from the non-physical, unseen quantum world into the physical world experienced by our physical senses. The scientists in these papers, headed by A.R. Borden, described how this process takes place, how energy moves from what they call the thought boundary to our physical world of time-space. The process is propagated by human consciousness. We as the observers create an energy field that comes from our thoughts, and then our physical bodies projected outside of us that impacts the subquantum energy and transfers it from non-physical to physical. This is an automatic process that is ongoing all the time, but most of it takes place in the subconscious level to where we are not consciously aware we are creating our reality, the world that we experience. We as a human race are constantly transforming or encoding light-based energy particles of quantum energy, the non-physical world, into the physical, and thereby creating our senses of reality, i.e. light encoded reality matrix. The interesting fact is that Borden's group has learned how to consciously use the LERM process to create physical items in a few seconds. Yes, they can make something physical appear out of thin air into a reality in just a few seconds. Now, these papers describe that process. They have mentioned we can learn to do this ourselves. It is a matter of three elements. Number one, understanding the process so that you can visualize it. Number two, believing it is possible, which means undoing our old belief patterns. And number three, the willingness to do the work requiring the patience and time necessary to bring about the required energy from our bodies to make it happen. The reading of these papers will help in the first step, understanding how this process works. This understanding is helped by understanding the vocabulary they use and becoming acquainted with their terminology so that you can conceptually understand what they are writing. They are advanced scientists describing a new scientific manner to understanding our world, so at times it may seem wordy or complex. How much you read is up to you, but I would advise you to go through the papers to develop the new educational process for yourself, and then go back and read them multiple times to get a total grasp of the process. And this may be helpful in quickening the LERM process. Now, let me go back and talk about why those three steps. Number one, why you have to understand it. Because the energy coming from your subconscious thoughts is moving out of your body and attaching to the light packets that are around you. That energy of your thoughts has to be of a certain quality and of a certain vibration. By understanding the process, knowing the process, visualizing the process, educating yourself on the process, you're producing energy thoughts that have a substance to them, if that's the term that I could use. If it's still kind of like, huh, what is this? Then you're producing, huh, what is this? Thoughts. Low energy, low impact energy that coming from your thoughts. If you can visualize the process, close your eyes, see it, understand it, know it, you're producing a high quality of thought. Where do you learn about this? You go to the Facebook page, The Writings of A.R. Borden, and there, as you go through the process into the Files tab, are about the 43 books and white papers that he has written. And in there are a number of the books and the white papers about describing the LERM process. That's the education, the understanding process. The second step is that you have to believe you can do it. And that's back to, again, the programming of the subconscious mind. I can say with my conscious mind, I can do this, but that's only 5% of the energy. I need to have that energy coming out of my subconscious mind that I'm absolutely 100% convinced that this is possible and I can do it. That is the energy that comes forward out of your body. And that is the part that you have to go through, the reprogramming of the subconscious mind. In with that, in the process, here's what happens. You basically take an item that you want. Let's just say I want an apple, a red delicious apple. I have to be able to visualize that apple and have an understanding of that apple from the inside out. I can't just have a picture of it. I have to understand its substance, because when I understand its substance, then that is the energy that I'm putting out. Now, I don't have to go through every little dot and tittle of the apple. It's just that I have to understand and know an apple. I have to have an experience with an apple to be able to do it. In his books, he described if you wanted to produce a $100 bill, then you would have to have a good experience of being able to visualize the $100 bill. What's the time on the clock, on the Independence Hall, on the back side? You know, what are the serial numbers and everything? You have to be able to visualize those things. Again, you don't go through hard visualization, but you have to have an acquaintance with them, because then that is the energy that you're producing. He starts out by saying the absolute most important thing in the LERM process is that your body and your mind has to be at peace, at rest. If you've got anxiety, if you've got doubts, if you've got fear, if you've got judgment going on in your mind, all of that is low vibrational energy thoughts. You have to be able to be totally at peace, because when you're at peace, you have the ability to produce high vibrational energy coming from your body. So he says, number one, you got to be at peace. Bring yourself to what it takes to get yourself to be peaceful, where you're at rest with your thoughts. Number two, then you start visualizing that every single cell in your body is an energy production machine. And you are now going to turn on the energy machine in every cell in your body. So your body's vibration and energy production is picking up rapidly. And he does describe it. It's almost like you're having a kundalini rush coming over your whole body. You're in a very high, powerful vibrational energy state. That is what produces the high vibration energy coming out of you. Then when you're in that position, you're visualizing the item, and you keep your eyes open, you're just looking right there at your hands, but you are so totally focused on that there is no distractions going on whatsoever. That means your energy thoughts are not mixed, but totally focused 100% on the item that you're wanting to produce. And they had learned to do this, and within 10 to 15 seconds, boom, the item appears. What happens? The energy in your body coming up, and what is called, we call it our aura. Borden calls it your Meissner energy field. Your Meissner energy field is activated, so it's producing very strong energy coming out from you. Your mind is producing the visualization of the template, which is producing the energy that is coming out two energy patterns are combining with the light packets that are out there around you. And when they come together, they make the item appear. And the reason this can happen, folks, is because remember, the world is holographic. It's all based around energy. It's not physically real. It's holographic. That is the learned process. Now, I don't know how long it's going to take me to reprogram my mind. I don't know. But I'm starting a process where I'm going to try to spend time, at least 10 to 15 minutes every day, that I go into a meditative state. I bring myself to where I'm peaceful, I'm relaxed, I don't have any outside thoughts coming in, and then I am focusing on reprogramming my subconscious mind saying, I am learning. And here's what you do. You don't focus on the process. You focus on the end result, and that's it. So I visualize myself doing the learn process. I visualize these things appearing right in front of me. I visualize them happening. That is how I reprogram my subconscious mind. Now, I'm committed to this. I'm committed to doing this and for however long it takes. Now, if you're on the Facebook page, my friend there, Anna Pasantis, just brought up one of Borden's books called Something from Nothing. That's what it is. Something from nothing. That's what LERM is, okay? That's what MPO is. That's one of his books. It's a technical book. It's almost like it's written for scientists more than just you and I, but if you take it, you read through it slowly, you can order the book off of Amazon, okay? And you can have that. That's one of his best books. And then you can also get the papers. There's a 43-page PDF paper on, you know, the writings of A.R. Borden Facebook page, that you can download that file into a PDF form and you can read it as well. And folks, don't expect to just read this run once and make it happen again. It's called, you got to do it over and over and over again, because the more you do it, the more you keep reprogramming yourself to make this happen. Now, why am I saying this? Why am I getting in this tonight? We've got some crazy stuff going on out there around us in this world, folks. You and I, if you've listened to this program, you know that there's this deep state, the cabal, that's attacking us with the coronavirus and the vaccines and all that kind of stuff, and wanting to keep us in fear. The bottom line is they are wanting to keep us in fear. They are wanting to control us. Remember, they're wanting to bring their one world government. They're wanting to keep their dominance over the human race and keep us into what is called slavery states, where we are subject to them and they are our masters and we do what they say. The reason I bring up this LERM process is because if we learn how to do this, and it may take some years, but if we learn how to do this, they will never, ever, ever be able to control us. Why? Because we can produce whatever it is we need, whatever it is that we want, that we are not subject to their dominance and control of what they want to do over us or control what we can obtain. This is called freedom. It's called the essence of personal freedom. It's called the essence of being subjective and being our own sovereigns over their control of us. This is being in a position where we can do whatever it is we want, create whatever it is we want, and we are not subject to their slavery. We have become our own sovereigns. That's the reason for this. Now, you say, well, it may take years. Yes, it might. Let's go back to I don't care if you're a little child or if you're in high school or college, but when you start to learn how to play the piano, you are always told to practice every single day. And to do any musical instrument and to become very proficient at it, you would always practice and you would feel the growth, you would notice the growth, and you would practice for years. For years you would practice to become very proficient at just playing the piano. This is a mental process. This is a mental practice. This is a mental exercise that we can do for ourselves to learn how to be our own sovereigns, to be in total control for ourselves. Because if you read the Neruda interviews, it was displayed there how he made $10,000, boom, appear overnight. In a few seconds for this lady that was interviewing him, Sarah. They could create their own cash. They could create their own currency. They could create their own food. They could create whatever it is they wanted just with their thoughts and the reprogramming of believing that it is possible. So that's what I'm sharing with you tonight, because all the stuff that's going out there in our world, here's what's important. There's a lot of drama going on in our world right now around COVID and the vaccine. If you're going to spend your time and your energy focusing on low vibrational drama of this world, then this won't work for you. Because why? Your energy you're producing from your thoughts and your focus is low vibrational, judgmental, fearful issues. LERM works by keeping your thought energy, your vibrational energy, at a very high state. You can't go around involved in all of the drama of this world going on around us and expect to be able to be proficient at LERM. And that's why what I say is you can't escape the world. We can't be in denial of it, but we are the observers versus the participants. By participating in the drama, I'm talking about the vaccines, how bad it is, what it's doing to people. COVID is such a horrible place. Look at all the stuff that's going on, everything that's going on in the news. I'm participating in the creation of all of that stuff with my thoughts. That's a participant. An observer, you're just neutral. You're not giving any judgment to it. You're not focusing on it. You're just letting it be the other's own. You say, oh, okay, yeah, there it is. Oh, somebody did that. Oh, somebody said that. But you're neutral in your judgment of it. You just let it be. By allowing yourself to be the observer, you allow yourself to stay in the high vibrational energy thought process. Your thoughts create your world that you experience. Now, that ties in with this whole concept of what is called the law of attraction. How we create, we attract to ourselves. Yes, like energy attracts like energy. But here's what I have learned. What's important, if you want your thoughts to produce powerful, effective things for you on a more rapid basis, you go into a focused meditative state, and you can't just think the thought. You also have to generate the emotion, energy of the thought as well. Because you see, it's the energy coming from you that attaches to the stuff around us, and like energy attracts like energy that creates what you want or the experience that you want. You could just think it and go, and you're not going to get it very well. But if you go into it and then you feel it, you see the end product, you visualize the end product, all the joy and the happiness that comes with it, and you're producing that kind of energy from your thought as though it is happening right now for you, what would your reaction be? Believe me, if someone came to me and just produced $10,000 right in front of me, do you think I'm just going to, oh, okay, thank you? No, I'm going to have a lot of excitement and a lot of joy. That's the emotional energy that helps create what it is that you want. Okay, so that's kind of what I wanted to share tonight. And just to kind of, you know, tonight would be a general discussion and how we tie all that into what's going on in the world around us and how we rise above all this drama that's taking place out there. So, Blanca, with that, Why don't you come on and in and share your thoughts with us?
Well, that was a very nice presentation about LRM. You've spoken about LRM before, and I can tell with your practice you're getting better at articulating it and simplifying it for people to understand. And I really like the example you used about someone learning to play the piano, that it takes practice before they can play a Beethoven piece or Bach. And so this is very similar. Now, the advantage that we have in this particular topic is, as you say, we're already doing it. We're already creating our reality, and we're doing it subconsciously. So, and if we're saying, well, you know, the world is this or the world is that, then we can look at, well, that may have to be because we're not quite masters of our states or masters of our emotions. So what we have to do, as you were mentioning, is adapt the frame of mind that the unseen becomes the seen through our energetic frequency or vibration. Some people could call it emotion. And so as we learn to shift our perception that the real reality comes from the unseen, and we can access that, what did you say, was it 60 million data per second that the subconscious can process? That's the unseen. That's what we're not perceiving with our senses, you see? And so it's not woo-woo about this. It's actually, if you think logically, if you think my senses can operate at a certain speed, right, yet the universe is much bigger than the perception or the speed of my perception, that means that there's a vast unseen world that we are tapping to. We're just not tapping into it consciously. And so the things that you're talking about has to do with consciousness. Now, some people may think this is maybe impractical discussion, but it's of the utmost practicality since we're doing it already. So if you found yourself driving a car 60 miles an hour and you woke up and realized you were in the middle of the highway, you're going to take it very seriously. So this is basically what we're doing. And fortunately, we're in a time in our history where we're waking up to this, that we are on that highway creating reality, and we can have an opportunity to be more conscious of our creation. This is very exciting.
It is. You know, here's another illustration about the difference between the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. Think in terms of your computer. To bring information up to your computer, you have three parts. You have the monitor that's in front of you. You have the hard drive on your physical computer attachment to the internet. The conscious mind is kind of like your monitor. You only see what's in front of you on that screen or what you're hearing in your speakers. And it's a very, very, very small part of the whole computer system. Your hard drive is like the first part of the subconscious mind. You can have a 5 terabyte hard drive with massive amounts of information on it, and it can process those 60 to 80 million data bits of information per second, but your screen can only do the 18-20. And then when you get into the internet, that's when you go beyond the subconscious mind, and you get into the unconscious mind, where you are in touch with the whole universe all the time. That is there. We are because we're holographic, energetic beings. We are energetically in touch to the whole universe all the time. But we can only process a very, very small amount of that in our conscious minds, on our screen. And so what LRM does, it allows you to, what comes up to your screen to be multiplied by thousands of times. It's basically a kind of an illustration to use on that. And when we can do that, then we are the ones who are the sovereigns, who are totally in control of our lives. And we are not dependent on a slave system run by the cabal people of this world. They control how much money we can make. They control the type of jobs. They control the information that we receive. They control the quality of our lives. And by becoming a sovereign, i.e. learning this learned process, we have the ability to totally rise above their power and control. So, Blanca, back to you.
Yes, continuing on metaphors and examples, because that I think that makes it a little easier. Again, back to the, for example, someone learning to play the piano. The first thing they learn are, you know, the scales. Or a guitar, I think it's like chords. I don't know how to play the piano or the guitar. I know how to play the flute, and we learn the scales. And so the scales in terms of this process or consciousness is frequency and vibration. So
yeah.
What you learn is, okay, how do I stay in a state of appreciation? How do I cultivate a state of humility? Or a state of valor, or a state, of course, I'm talking about the heart virtues that we've talked about. Now, the reason we say practice those particular states or those particular emotions, because they are of a higher frequency. Now, if we're in a higher frequency state, which is like the peaceful state that A.R. Borden says that we should do, peaceful or calm, that is a certain frequency. Now, at a certain frequency, our perceptions, then the speed of our perceptions quickens. And some people will say, I have a sixth sense, or I have an intuition, or I have a feeling. That is also a perception. It just happens to be at a higher speed or a higher frequency. Then you won't see the unseen, you'll know the unseen or feel the unseen. So now you're getting into that unseen world where you're starting to play the scale. Then you can, if you practice the LERM, which is your instrument, then you get some more progress. The thing of it is we're already doing this. We just have practiced doing it at a lower frequency, which is why the cabal likes us to be in a state of fear, hate, judgment, et cetera, because then we're controlling the world that they can control.
Yes. Yeah. So, well, Blanca, I don't have anything else here tonight? Are we ready to go over to callers to see if anybody would like to call in and with some questions or comments?
Yes, I'd love to hear either thoughts or questions or observations or things that that your discussion inspired in the listeners. So yeah, it'd be great to hear
sure.
from them.
Folks, if you'd like to call in, the number there is 515-605-9356. Again, 515-605-9356, and you press 1 on your touchtone phone, and that lets us know that you would like to come on the air. Now, we have somebody that did press 1 when the program very, very started at the very beginning, and I don't know if they just did that, but if they still want to come on the air with a question or comment either way, but we'll go to them anyway, and it's area code 702. Other than that, folks, there's nobody else there. So if you want to come on the air, you won't have much of a line to wait for. But let's go to area code 702. Okay, area code 702 here. You're on the air. Would you like any comments or questions?
Yeah, Dave, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. I have a few questions. About a few weeks ago when you said they had gotten a phone call that they haven't gotten in 10 years, they were waiting for 10 years, saying that the currency exchange was proceed. I mean, however the words you used, but the essence of it was that it was getting ready to proceed. Is that still intact? And did that
yes,
still
I shared
that
at the very beginning of the program. Nothing has changed.
Okay.
Okay.
Then, yeah, I want to ask you about the QFS, Quantum Financial System. You know, you can look it up on the internet, whatever. Why, I've been in this a long time, as I know you have. Why did it, or how did it convert, or did it convert from a currency exchange to the quantum financial system? Simon Parks is talking about it, who you've mentioned on your show. Do you have any feedback on that?
depends on your definition of quantum financial system, because there's almost four or five different definitions out there of what people are calling it. And I know what Simon Parks has said. All I know is that I don't know how this fits in with that. That's something that we'll see. I do know that, you know, the funders have been very concerned about the ability to move large scores of money, i.e. trillions of dollars, in what was the existing banking system. And one of the definitions of the quantum financial system is that they have now created a new way to move money, i.e. it's using the, you know, the foundation of blockchain technology, so that money can be moved without it being stolen, without people hacking into the bank accounts and stealing the funds. Because, folks, we're talking about trillions and trillions of dollars in this thing. And, you know, the funders, i.e. predominantly the Dragon families, are not going to release trillions of dollars if there's hackers out there that can steal all of it. They won't do that. And that's what we had been waiting for, was a secure method and means to move the money. And that is one of the definitions of quantum financial system. And my understanding is that is in place now. It is operating.
It is operational, is what you're saying?
Yes, by the definition that I gave it. Now, don't ask me about what Simon Parks is saying or what other people are saying. That's their definitions, and that's, I don't tie that into this.
Okay. And then I know everybody, you know, has, I know the people that are in the know, so to speak, have to be very quiet right now. I don't know if you can answer. Is that why you're being very, very general and not specific? Because you have to be quiet right now?
Yes, we are. I'm needing to stay low-key so I don't create a bunch of problems for myself.
And I respect that. What I do want to say on the public, not exactly public, but for people in the know, which I've been following a few sources for a lot of years, and they say it right on their show, so I guess I can say it. Charlie Ward, Simon Parks, who are the truther movement, whatever you want to call it, you know, are saying it's right. They're saying it right on their latest videos. I watch them. You know, it's all weekend. It's been being worked on that it's ready to, you know, it's almost ready. It's almost ready. And that, you know, they talk about it pretty clearly about the projects and the humanitarian projects, the difference, the abundance it's going to be for a lot of people and so forth. They don't say any particulars about how they're connected or how it's going to happen, but they're saying that. Is there anything that you know of that is a holdup?
I don't trust hardly anything that Charlie Ward has to say. Charlie Ward is a hypothetical storyteller, and the stuff he says rarely ever comes to pass. Go back and listen to what he says. This has happened. This has happened. He's been saying this for months. I don't trust Charlie Ward. I do not trust him. He is an exaggerated storyteller that lies, and the things he says don't happen. That means he's either deliberately lying to us or his sources are deliberately lying to him. He is such an exaggerated storyteller. Now, Simon Parks has a lot more credibility, and I just know, I mean, I've been involved in this for a number of years. You know my background, my history. I've been to Hong Kong four times. I've met with the Dragon families. I know who the funders are. I know how they got their money. Charlie's just a storyteller. I don't trust his sources. I really begin to question his integrity with what he says.
Well, I understand, because when everything was happening around the election, nothing came true. I understand that completely.
No.
With a lot of people. So I take things in that spirit. But when you, actually, I was asleep at the wheel, so to speak, but you, when you came on whatever weeks that was ago and said, you know, wow, things are, not only you, all these little factors started to peep up, pipe up, whatever, some bigger, some more credible than others, him one of them, you know, some more credible than others, if it was just him saying it. But there was, you know, like a half a dozen resources that I know of that was saying the same, similar. And they weren't saying the details, but they were saying similar
Simon
kind of
Parks,
things. Yeah.
Simon Parks was the first one that I heard outside of my inner circles that talked about the Texas Processing Office. Now, he used it as a different
term.
Right. But he was the very, very first one. Now, I am personal friends with the lady that is personal friends to the man that runs that office. And about 5-6 years ago, she was there with them for a full month, living there, helping them in their operations. So she knows that thing inside and out. And that lady and I talk a couple times a week. So it always, you always got to come back to what I say is follow the money. Who has the money that's going to pay for all this? And where did they get it? And what authority do they have to release it? Those are always your hard questions. And Charlie Ward cannot authentically answer those questions, or he doesn't address them. And he just, it highly exaggerates. At least Simon Parks, you know, he doesn't go into that part. But it's back to the different sources of these funds. There's the Texas Processing Office. There are the Zim buyers and funders based out of Miami. There's a very large private foundation that's based out of Europe. Then you've got funds in Hong Kong, and you've got funds in the Philippines. And in Hong Kong, it's the Dragon families. And in the Philippines, it's the man that they associated with, the man called the Grandpa. These are real people with real money, very large sums, that I am familiar with all of them, either first or second hand. So I always be careful about what I say, because I always just follow the money. Follow the money.
So Dave, based on this wisdom and years of experience, do you think there's anything stalling anything now?
I have no idea. They are not leaking anything about timing and when. They just are not. They are not leaking anything about when it's going to come to our level. And I'm not going to project anything because I don't know.
Right. And where does Reno fit into this picture, in your, whatever you can say? In
Reno,
your
is a, Reno is in the same level as the Texas Processing Office. Those are the fundings of the bonds and the currencies. There are some people in Reno that are very legitimate and very real, and there are some of them that are fake. So you can't just say Reno and believe it all.
I see.
You got to know who it is and, again, follow the money.
Well, you were, you know, what were sharing it. You could share this time. You talked about the three levels: first sovereigns, then humanitarian projects, and then the level that you described is yourself in Reno. What is that? Is there a name for that level?
Just the bond and currency funding. That's all.
And is the sovereigns only the country? Because it is talked about on
the
internet.
No idea who the sovereigns are. I said that at the beginning of the program.
No, what I'm saying is, when they, not just you, but other sources have talked about 200 and something countries. That's out there in the public.
There are not 208 countries. That's the fact that they haven't done their homework. Go on and Google. You'll find that there's only 194 countries in this world. So when they say that all 208 or 206 countries have all signed the Nasara, they're flat out lying to you. They're lying. That does not exist. There aren't 208 countries in this world. Google it.
You know it's out there like that, so you're probably aware of that, right?
I know it's out there. That's why I do, that's why I call them storytellers. They tell stories, and they don't have tangible evidence or proof to back up what they're saying.
And what about the, when you say humanitarian projects, many talk about humanitarian project. Everybody's I remember on this show years ago, people used to be volunteering what their humanitarian projects were in order to be a part of things. Where does that fit into the scheme of things?
As far as the currency exchanges, it has nothing to do with it. We don't have anything to do in the currency exchange with humanitarian projects. Nothing.
I see. Well, it's interesting times. The but whatever stirred your boat, so to speak, 4 weeks ago, whatever weeks ago, you're not the only one, you know, and I, of course, but remember years ago when you directed people as you addressed about going into these certain groups, I won't say names or anything, are you still part of that too?
I'm not going to comment anymore on this stuff, okay? I've pretty much said everything that I said it at the beginning of the program, I've answered most of your questions, and if I start going into more, I'm going to get myself in trouble.
Okay, I respect that, but I just did want to ask you what you could ask. Okay, thank you.
Okay, all right, thanks. Okay. All right, yeah, bye-bye. Okay, let's back to, is there anybody else that would like to call in? I don't see anybody else at this time. Blanca, do you see anybody else?
No, I don't, but she had several questions, so I guess that counts for several.
Well, I mean, she had great, honest questions, you know, again, about all the funding and the currency exchange and the different parts of it and what's going on with the others. And, folks, all I know is that there's a lot of people out there that are storytellers. There are some that are credible, and that's why I always come back. If you're listening to somebody else, ask yourself the questions, follow the money. Who has the money? Where did they get it? How did they get it, and what authority do they have to release it? And if the people that you're listening to can't answer those questions, then I would say they're just storytellers. So, yeah. And there's a lot of storytellers out there, folks, a lot of them, okay? So, well then, Blanca, anything else you'd like to share with us before we call it an evening tonight?
No, I think we're good. I think in terms people are really curious and thoughtful about the currency exchange process, which you're participating in, and many others along with you, that take to heart everything you talked about and I talked about in terms of creating reality, and use it for that process. Instead of wondering and listening to everybody else, do your process.
Now, I do know that a person on Facebook has said the 209 countries includes territories, and that's how they get to 209. Well, but a territory doesn't have the authority to sign for a country. That's the bottom line, okay? They don't. Guam is a territory. It cannot sign for itself. Puerto Rico is a territory of the United States. Territories are always tied to a mother country, okay? But it's neither here nor there. I understand what they're saying. But the fact, folks, I can tell you right now, when Charlie Ward said that all 209 countries have signed the NASARA, folks, if that had happened, you can't keep that a secret. That would have been out all around the world, people talking about it. Why is he the only one in the world that knows it? He's the only one talking about it. That's what I refer to as a storyteller. Somehow that these guys have the sole source of, they are the only ones that know this and are talking about it. I rarely ever trust that. You don't keep that kind of stuff quiet. I mean, believe me, if a little tiny country that only has 300,000 people in it had signed a star and they were all going to become millionaires, do you think that would stay quiet? No, they would start talking about it with their neighbors and their friends and their others, and this stuff would be leaking out all over the place if it was true. So, okay, that's all I got. Blanca, anything else?
That should do it.
Okay, folks, I think we're ready to call it an evening here tonight. And then we will see you next week again here on Healthy Planet. Thank you. Okay, good night.